now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Mark, for your prayers. If you'd like to turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 5. We've already heard some of this read at the beginning of our service, but I'm going to read the whole chapter. Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 to 14. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly, because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. One of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. When he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, as Tom and Henry have already said, we are going to begin a series of sermons over the next 5 weeks looking at the vision of our church, the vision of St. Clement's. Our vision here at St. Clement's is that we want to spread a passion for Jesus Christ in Manchester, the UK, and the world. And we've broken that vision down into 5 points, summarized in 5 words. Worship, word, well-being, welfare, and witness. 5 things which we want to characterize our church. I mean, over the next 5 weeks, we're going to take one of those words a week and unpack it. And this week, we're looking at worship. You know, we want to be a church. I want to be a minister who passionately worships Jesus Christ. We want to be a church, and I want to be a minister who passionately worships Jesus Christ. Now, this morning, we're looking at Revelation 5 because, well, Revelation 5 is a vision of heaven. The Apostle John was given this vision by God. And in this vision of heaven, we get a glimpse of reality, of what heaven is about, of what life is about. We get, as it were, a behind-the-scenes look at what is really important. You see, we look at the world and we think some things are important and some things are just not important. But here, we get a glimpse of what God sees as important. You see, what is life about? What is the world about? It's about worship. And it's about worshiping Jesus Christ, the Lamb on the throne. See, that's what reality is. That's what heaven's all about. That's what life is all about. So there's three things about worship I want us to think about this morning. I want us to think about why we worship, who we should worship, and how we worship. Why we worship, who we worship, and how we worship. First of all, why we worship. This vision is just a bit weird. It's just a bit strange. You've got these images and pictures of animals and what is going on here? Well, what's going on is worship. It's an apocalyptic vision. That is, stuff which is hidden is revealed. Stuff which is not known is being made known to John. And that is what's happening in heaven. And what's happening in heaven is various people are worshiping Jesus Christ. First of all, we're told of the four living creatures in verse 6. What are these living creatures? Well, back in Revelation chapter 4, we're told that one was like a lion, one like an ox, one like an eagle, and one like a man. And they're representing the whole of creation. Lion is the king of the animals. The ox is, as it were, the king of the domestic animals. The eagle is the king of the birds. And a man is the king of them all. These living creatures represent the whole creation. And then we have these 24 elders. And I think they represent the 12 tribes of Israel in the Old Testament and the 12 apostles in the New Testament. In other words, the people of God in the Old Testament and in the New. And so what you've got here is a vision of all creation and all God's people from all time worshiping God. Why is that important? What's that trying to tell us? What's it teaching us? Well, it's teaching us this. The meaning of life, the purpose of life, is worship. There's an old catechism which I love. Catechism is a series of questions and answers in which the Christian faith is explained. And it's called the Shorter Catechism, the Westminster Shorter Catechism. And the first question of it says this. What is the chief end of man? What's the purpose of life? What's the meaning of life? And the answer is the meaning of life is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. See, that's what life is about. It's about glorifying God. It's about worshiping God. You see, the whole of creation was created to worship God. You and I were created to worship God. You know, why is the sun shining this morning? Surprises those of us who live in Manchester. Why is the sun shining this morning? Why did the white butterfly outside my window flutter from one plant to the next? Why did the birds in our hedge sing loudly first thing this morning? Why do the flowers bloom? They're doing what they were made to do. They're glorifying their maker. They're worshiping their maker. That's why they were made. That's why you were made as well. You see, life is about worship. You see, part and parcel of what it means to be a human being is to be a worshiper. We were created by God to worship God. And if we don't worship God, it's not we won't worship anything, we will worship something else. We are all worshippers and we all worship something 24/7, 365 days a year. If we don't worship God, we will worship something that God has made, something created. Our hearts, as one person said, are like factories that daily are producing idols. Daily we are looking to something to worship, something to give us meaning and purpose and satisfaction in life. It may be a job, it may be money, it may be a relationship, it may be food, it can be anything. And anything that we worship which is not God is an idol. It's something that he has made. That's the question for you and me this morning, is this: what are we worshiping? How do we know what we're worshiping? One of the ways I can tell if I'm worshiping God or not is, how are my emotions doing? See, when your emotions are out of sync, either when you're really, really sad or really, really happy, that tells you what's important to you. When you get anxious, or when you're really content and satisfied, when you are stressed and frustrated, or when you think life is a breeze. Ask yourself, in those moments, what is it that's making me feel like this? What's important to me? Other ways you can tell what you worship is, what do you spend your money on? What do you think about when you're not thinking about anything else? What do you spend your time doing? We all worship something, and we're all worshiping something all the time. A couple of weeks ago, we had some friends to stay, and they brought some like high-quality biscuits, like really nice chocolate biscuits from Waitrose. We don't have Waitrose around here. They only have them down south. They came from down south. And they brought these really high-quality biscuits. And I remember coming home and thinking to myself, I would really like a cup of coffee. I'm dying for a coffee. And I could do one of those biscuits. But I'm not the only person who lives in our house. And so when I came home, got the coffee machine going, that's all great. Look for the biscuits. And I was like, I'm sure that my friend 2 days ago brought me those biscuits, and they were for me. They're not for the children. These are nice biscuits. They're not children's biscuits. You know the difference of your parents? You know the difference between a children's biscuit and an adult's biscuit? Anyway, these were adult's biscuits. And I was looking, and I couldn't find them anywhere. And so when Jill came home, I said, Jill, those biscuits that Will brought me, she said, oh yeah, we ate them. I was like, what? But there's a whole packet. She said, yeah, give them to the children. They're adults' biscuits. You don't need a sign on them to say that they're adults' biscuits. And you saw in that moment, what did I do? Did I say, isn't that great that I can share those biscuits with my children and my family? Isn't that just wonderful? It's just a joy to be able to give. More blessed to give than to receive. No, you pout. Pout. Because in that moment, what am I worshipping? My belly. We all worship something. You know, the reason many of us in life are sad and dissatisfied and discontent, it's because we are not worshiping God. Or if we are worshiping God, we're worshiping something else as well. We're syncretists, we're worshiping more than one God at once. You see, we are all worshippers. But this passage doesn't tell us just that worship is the meaning of life. It tells us who we should worship. And we should worship Jesus Christ. To him who sits on the throne, God, and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and power forever and ever. See, Jesus Christ is to be worshipped. Worshipped as God himself. And he's to be worshipped for two reasons. First of all, because of the scroll. And secondly, because he's the Lamb. First of all, because of the scroll. The scroll is mentioned 8 times in this passage. It's the key to the whole passage. It's a scroll written on 2 sides. And that scroll is God's purpose for the world. It's God's purpose for redemption, for justice, for judgment. It's God's plan and purpose for the whole world. And it needs opening. And an angel comes down in John's vision and says, "Who can open this scroll?" And the answer is, no one. There's no one in heaven. There's no angel who can open this scroll. There's no one on earth. There's no human being who can open this scroll. There's no one under the earth. There's no dead guy who can open this scroll. And so John begins to weep. You know, how can God's purposes for the world come to pass? God's got good purposes for this world. How can they be fulfilled? How can justice be done in a broken world where there's so much injustice? Life is hopeless unless someone can open the scroll. And then the angel says, someone's been found. It is the lion from the tribe of Judah. And John looks, and you expect him to see a lion. You expect him to see a great king. He comes from the root of David. And when he looks, he sees a lamb. You know, this is power inversion. You know, when it comes to creating symbols for countries, you create a powerful symbol, don't you? Like for Britain, our symbol is the lion, 3 lions on the chest. In America, they've got an eagle. In France, they've got a tiger. In heaven, they have a lamb. And a lamb who was slain. And yet he's got 7 horns and 7 eyes. 7 horns of great power and 7 eyes filled with the Holy Spirit can see everything. But this is power inversion, because he can take the scroll and open its seals. And why can he do that? Well, we're told, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed men from every nation and tribe and people and language. See, the Lamb has done something. The Lamb, Jesus Christ, sacrificed himself, poured out his blood, and he did that at the cross. So when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died for people throughout the world. His death was a universal death, covering people in every language, in every tribe, in every people group, in every nation. But his death was also a particular death. He died for a specific group of people from those nations, from those people groups. See, Jesus Christ has done something definite when he died on the cross. He has ransomed people and redeemed people. It's through him that God's purposes are fulfilled in the world. And if you're a Christian here, that's what he's done for you. He's ransomed you. He's redeemed you. He's brought you back to God. And if you know that he's done that for you, doesn't it make you want to worship him? Does it make you want to praise him? Does it make you want to say, crown him the Lord of love? Behold his hands and side. Rich wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified. No angel in the sky can fully bear that sight, but downward bends his burning eye at mysteries so bright. See, when you see what Jesus Christ has done for you, specifically and particularly for you, bearing your sins on the cross and dying in your place to ransom you, to redeem you, to bring you back to God, it makes you want to praise and worship him. And so finally, how do we do that? How do we go about praising and worshiping Jesus Christ? Well, we get an indication through this word worthy. Verse 9, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. Verse 11, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. You see, what is worship? What is going on in worship? Well, Worship is about seeing the worth of something. It's seeing that something is worthy. You see, to worship Jesus Christ, what you're doing is you're seeing what he's worth and ascribing to him his value. See, that's what you do when you encounter God. When you meet with God, you worship. It involves doing four things. You think, you feel, you fall, and you change. When you worship, when you really encounter God, you think, you feel, you fall, you change. First of all, you think. In this vision of heaven, in this worship, we're given reasons why Jesus Christ is to be worshipped. Worthy are you, for you were slain. See, worship begins with the mind. It begins with thinking. It begins with ideas. It begins with truth. In heaven, they see the truth of who Jesus is and what he's done, and that leads them to worship. You see, we don't empty our minds when we come to church on a Sunday morning. We fill our minds with truth. That's why our services are full of Bible. Maybe you've wondered why we have so many bits of Bible read throughout the service. It's because we want the service from beginning and end to be full of truth, full of God's truth, full of God's word, so that our minds are filled with truth. So we see who God is. We see what God has done for us. We see the wonder and the beauty of the gospel. The same with our songs. You know, we want to sing the best modern songs, which are full of truth. We want to sing great old hymns, not because they're poetic, but we want to sing the ones which are full of truth. And particularly, we want to sing stuff which is full of Jesus Christ, full of the gospel. We want to be talking and thinking about Jesus and filling our minds with the knowledge of him. In our community groups, studying the Bible. Why is the Bible at the center of our community group? Because we want our minds to be filled with truth so we can be worshipers. We want our children's ministry at church to be full of truth. Teach them good stuff from when they're young so when they're old they won't forget it. Fill their minds with truth. And if that's not happening, you need to say something and say, come on, Jumpy, teach us more about God. Teach us more about the gospel. Show me Jesus. On a Sunday morning. You see, the first part of worship is you think. But then the second aspect of worship is you feel. See, in this vision of heaven, these worshippers saw who Jesus was and what he was like, and it moved their hearts. That's why they're praising him. See, we need to fill our heads with truth, our minds with truth, but it can't just remain in our heads. We've got to let the truth of what we know affect our hearts, move our emotions. We want to be people who delight in what we know, who enjoy the truth of the gospel. Now, you might do it that in an expressive way. Fantastic. Praise the Lord. You might do that in a non-expressive way. It doesn't matter. We want to be a church that simply feels what we think, that experiences what we know to be true. See, it's not enough simply to have our heads filled with knowledge. We want our emotions to be moved. This isn't emotionalism. See, what's emotionalism? Emotionalism is having your emotions moved by non-truth. It's having your emotions moved without having a basis of truth to move them. That's emotionalism. We're not into that. But we're into true emotion, which is having your emotions moved by the truth of the gospel. By seeing who Jesus is worth, what Jesus is worth, and then delighting in the value of who he is. remember when I was a little boy, I went to my great uncle and auntie's house. And I was only young, and they'd pick me up from school, and I'd come back to their house. And I looked in his cabinet, as little boys do, and I was like, oh, what's that? What's that medal? That's there. And he said to me, that's an FA Cup medal that I got when I played in the FA Cup final. I was like, wow. As little boys who like football do. He played for Burnley and lost. So it was a runners-up medal. But as a little boy, you're like, that's really impressive. It's like, wow. Now, when I looked at that cabinet case, first of all, and saw that medal, I thought, oh, that's interesting. When I realised that it was an FA Cup final medal, I was like, that's amazing. You see, the medal hadn't actually changed. What had changed is my perspective of it, how I valued it. And the same is true as you come to worship. We want our minds to be filled with truth, but we want to feel what we know is true. We want to feel the value of it in our hearts. We want to be moved by the gospel. But third, you think, you feel, you fall. The elders, the four living creatures, they fall down before Jesus Christ. What are they doing? They're bowing down before him. You know, it's going to happen next Saturday at Old Trafford, isn't it? Ronaldo. You know, what are people doing when they do that? You know, Manchester United fans, what are they doing? They're saying, you're the boss. You know, you're the main man. And what are the angels and the elders doing? They're saying that about Jesus Christ. You're saying, you're the main man. You're the boss. You're number one. See, when you see what Jesus is worth, when you feel what he's worth, then you want to make him number one in your life. You want to give him priority in your life. You want to say, I'm not going to live for that person. I'm not going to live for that thing. I am going to live my life for Jesus Christ. And I'm going to do it because I've seen what he's done for me. He's lived and died for me on a cross. I'm going to live my life for him. I'm going to make him number one. I've seen his goodness. I've seen his power. I've seen his grace. I've seen his glory. And I want to center my life around that. And finally, you change. Jesus Christ is somebody who changes lives. And when you center your life around him, your life changes. He was slain for people from every language and tribe and nation and tongue in order that we might become a kingdom and priests to our God. Whatever you worship, you will become like. There's a psalm which is quite powerful when you think about it. And it talks about the idols of the nations around Israel. And the psalm is mocking the idols because it says they've got eyes but can't see, ears but can't hear, feet but can't move. And whoever worships them becomes like them. If you worship money, you will become like money. If you worship your job, that's what you will end up like. If you worship Jesus Christ, you will become like him. And what is he? He's a king and he's a priest. He reigns and rules over the world and he is holy. If you worship Jesus Christ, you will change. How many of you have come to a church service or been in a worship service and in the moment of worship, you have seen issues in your life, things that are burdening you and weighing you down, or sins, or things you're doing which you know you shouldn't. And in that moment, you've said, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to be like that anymore. I don't want to live for that person. I don't want to live for that job. I don't want my life to be controlled by that thing. I want my life to be centered around Jesus Christ. And you feel yourself unburdening. You feel those sins, as you were, dropping off. Not because you're going to live a perfect life after that, but because the power of sin loses its power in worship. Our lives are transformed when we encounter God in worship. And that's what we want to happen here at St. Clement's, Sunday by Sunday. We want people to come to church burdened with feelings of guilt, weighed down with sins, with issues in our lives. Look, if you're a perfect person, this church isn't for you. This church is for sinners. I'm the biggest one. And as we come to worship, we meet with God, and our lives are changed. And we go out living different during the week because we are living our lives for Jesus Christ, who we've encountered on a Sunday in worship. See, that's what we want to do. That's what we want to be like as a church. You know, sometimes people say, oh, church, it's just boring. Well, when you encounter God like that, when you meet with God on a Sunday and your life is transformed, it's anything but boring. It's radical. It's wonderful. And we want that to be the case. And if you are finding church boring, if you think singing songs about Jesus, listening to the Bible is boring, then consider who Jesus is. And consider him until he moves your heart. Consider him until you have to praise him, until you have to say, crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon the throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Drowns out Oasis, or whatever Beyonce's singing. Drowns out all that music. Awake, my soul, and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king throughout eternity. See who Jesus is until it moves your heart and changes your life, and you can't live but to worship Jesus Christ. Let me pray for us. Gracious Father, we want to be a worshiping people. We want to be a church who worships Jesus Christ because of who he is, because of what he has done for us. Give us a vision of him and move our hearts by your Spirit with that vision, that we might want to live differently, that we might want to fall at his feet, and that our lives might be transformed, and we might impact our community around us as a result. Lord, work in our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.